Hello and welcome to a Collector Box Light episode on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I will be opening up a subscription box and discussing the contents. Okay, the box in front of me now is the Firefly Cargo Crate for which month? One of these months.
May, June. It's the ultimate in mystery boxes because I think the UPS store put the label over the sticker.
I need to speak to them about that. That's exactly what they did.
And gone went your hint.
This box is 7 1/4 by 5 1/2. By about 11 inches.
It's $25 plus shipping, as I recall.
Sounds about right.
Okay. See, I try to remember these things. It's every other month.
It is. It is by Quantum Mechanics and Loot Crate,
yeah. The
joint deal with them. So, shall we open it up?
Yes, please.
Now, the big question is, how many of these are we going to get before we actually get around to rewatching the series?
Oh, you know what? I vote for August. I don't know when we would record, when we would put an episode together, but I'm willing to commit to watching the series in August.
Okay. We'll have to think about that because there's one or two things I'd like to do before it, but
okay.
It's up there in the top couple is the thing.
Yeah.
All right. Starting with the shirt. It's a black shirt with blue text that forms the shape of an octopus. It's a bunch of ones and zeros?
Yeah, in differing sizes, possibly even differing fonts.
Nice. A bit subtle as to, again, I don't know that I would have pegged that if I saw it at like a convention or something as a Firefly shirt, but it's nice.
Yeah, I like that. It's attractive in terms of just awesome geekness.
Yeah, it's clearly a geek shirt, but I could see where people would not know what it is off the top of the head or whatever, which is not a knock or anything of the sort. Okay, we have a Cubit Series 2 action figure. That is it's the red one out of the selection of 7 black ones.
The red one with the legs apart, no skirt.
It has a skirt.
It's Kaylee, isn't
Kaylee
it?
In the dress.
You got my expectations raised by showing me the box.
What's funny is the ones on the back, I'm guessing the one in the dress there would be Inara.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
I was flipping around on IMDb the other night, and I think Rebecca Gayhart was originally Inara for like a day of shooting.
Hmm.
Obviously did not make it to the screen.
Yeah.
And Miranda Baccarin, great job in the role.
She did, yeah.
The Little Damn Heroes mini master is River.
Oh, and full of attitude.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
They always do a good job with those...
Yeah, the poses as well as the wardrobe, etc. on these. I like them.
I'm curious how much of that is done from like a photo reference, how much of that is kind of the sculptor, you know, what the process is behind that.
Yeah.
But that's one of the ways I think they've done a really good job with this box, because you always get the mini-mate or mini-figure, whatever they're called.
The Cubit.
The Cubit and the statue or whatever. So you're guaranteed to get two things that if you're into the show... are going to be dead on target. And of course, the shirt, while sometimes a little, I don't say esoteric.
Or obscure.
It's still, again, it's a nice focused box with a really good hit rate. We have an inflatable Reaver axe, which is probably the only way they'd fit one in the box.
Well, and it is summer pool toy season.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. That's funny. Yes. We have the otherwise invisible sticker of Miranda. Which was from the movie.
Yes.
Again, need to speak to the UPS store about that. The pin this time is the Fruity Odie bar.
Oh, I love that theme.
I think I have a feeling where that's going. We've got the Interplanetary Flash cards, as always, this time for Miranda. And it's got just kind of the trivia stuff or whatever on it.
I love the art on the front of that one.
At some point we need to go collect all of the...
Yeah.
I'm sure we've got them in the box over there.
Yeah.
And then finally, we've got the Can't Stop the Signal, and they've cut an interview with River stunt double.
Oh, how interesting.
And I can definitely see where that young lady earned her pay.
Yes.
Bridget Riley, I think, is the stunt double. Champion kickboxer, 5-time world champion kickboxer. Wow, very accomplished. Also appeared on Star Trek Beyond.
Huh.
I can see that. She was probably, what was the new alien girl's name in that movie? You know who the character, yeah. The new one. All right, so we got the Little Damn Heroes Mini Master of River. We've got the wedding cake dress Kaylee for Cubits. The octopus glow in the dark t-shirt.
Aww.
Hadn't turned the lights out yet, so hadn't realized that part.
Well, and what a great shirt to wear at a convention.
Yeah. So we got the travel sticker, of course, for Miranda, the Fruity Odie bar lapel pin, the flash card for Miranda, and the inflatable axe. I like how they've got kind of that checkoff list there at the end.
Yeah.
Just to go through the stuff.
Yeah. Very cool.
It's, I mean, how many boxes in are we on this? We're good ways. And I don't feel like they've had to recycle, go back to the well. I mean, we know we're always going to get the flash card, a sticker, a pin. So you know what to expect, but the design sense is always good. It's always a, oh yeah, I love this character kind of a thing. So I think they've done a really good job on this.
Yeah.
I wish that Bandai would do the same sort of a thing for Super Sentai and Power Rangers with this kind of a mindset.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because you've got something where I think it's pretty easy to have a high hit rate if you know the audience and you've got kind of a standard set of things you could do.
Yeah.
So anything else on this one?
I think you're good.
Cool. Okay, the next box in front of me now is, I believe, from the Marvel Collector Corps. Now, I recently opted not to renew, but we've got a box here that's 5 inches by 5 inches by 11 inches, and I believe this is the second year Oscar. And we opted not to continue this. It's a good box, but it just felt like we were always getting, like, two pops, which, you know, I could go either way on, and one or two other things, that was about it.
Well, I get that it's Funko-powered, but it was Funko-heavy.
It was too Funko-heavy.
Yeah,
and
for us.
If it was something where I felt like they were completing teams of characters or...
Good point.
Had a better hit rate with the characters, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'd be hard-pressed to name anything. Every once in a while, the DC box would have something that was exceptionally cool. The Wonder Woman Invisible Jet sort of thing. This hadn't had that.
Well, and with the Marvel box, thinking through the pops, and I mean, I'm senile, but just trying to think through them, I don't think you could say, well, I came out of it with all the figures in Cap versus Iron Man.
Well, and again, they wouldn't have had the time necessarily for that. But even
the majority of them, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. And sometimes the costumes they chose, the variants of them, weren't necessarily the most iconic or something of the sort. I mean, again, it was good stuff, but it was getting to the point where it's like, I don't feel like I'm getting enough out of this.
And we're not Funko Pop collectors.
No, but I have a staggering number of them already. Yep. At some point, I'll get them organized, get photos, etc. Just don't expect that anytime soon, because I'm sure I've been saying that for many years now. All right, I'm going to open this up. Probably make some noise.
Okay.
This is the Founder 2016 Spider-Man, and it, again, looks exactly like an Oscar would if it was Spider-Man.
Yeah, it does.
I
was tempted to tease you, do you think this year they would go for more of a Golden Globe or an Emmy, but they stuck with their Oscar theme.
And actually, I don't think that's a bad theme. If it was one of those things where if they gave me the option of retaining my founder status to get this, but maybe skip out on the boxes, I would consider that.
Yeah.
Just because I can see over the years having something that looks like your Academy Award nomination or awards or whatever.
And it's a good looking Spider-Man.
Yeah, it is. It's, I mean, the pose is a little kind of, you know, stiff for Spider-Man, but it fits the Academy Award kind of Oscar thing.
Yeah.
And it's got some heft to it. It's the statue itself inside is maybe 7 inches-ish.
Got a little heft, and it's boxed such that you could display it nicely in the box.
Yes.
And I think it would be amusing if you had light coming down on it because they put Spider-Man's face up in the plastic above it.
Yeah. Somewhere we'll have to dig out where we stashed the one from last year.
Yeah.
Compare the two.
Just an interesting decision to do that light window that also would have a little character to it.
Yeah. Well, and if you're clever, you could use that on a flashlight.
Yes.
As a kind of a spider signal thing.
Yeah.
So it's funny. It's these are the things that probably I like the best out of the whole thing. It wasn't enough to keep going every other month.
Yeah.
So that pretty much concludes the Marvel Collector Core segment of these subscription box lights, unless something changes.
Makes sense.
Shall we move on?
Yes, please.
Hi, it's Nathan here, ND Horse on the forums, and I am back again with another comic book bento unboxing segment. The theme for this month is girl power. I'm kind of assuming that this theme is just because they knew the Wonder Woman movie was coming out and everything, so just try to tie the theme into that. Who knows? Maybe there might be a Wonder Woman comic in here. I don't know. In the preview email that they sent out this month, it just talks about one of Marvel's most exciting new teams. My guess is that might be A-Force, maybe. A classic reinvented. Don't know what that is. A book from one of video games' most compelling voices. I don't know what compelling voices there are in video games, since I don't play many video games anymore. And then it says 3 soft covers and 1 hard cover. Just to kind of refresh the memory for all you guys, Comic Book Bento sends you 3, 4, 5 different trade paperbacks or hardcovers every month for about $22.50, $25 a month, plus $5 shipping, depending on how long of a subscription you get. Like I said, I love it all the time. And it sends lots of good stuff. A quick recap of last month. Last month, they sent me Grim Tales of Terror from Zenoscope. That was pretty good, actually. I'm usually not a fan of Zenoscope's stuff too much, but that was a lot of good horror one-shots done in one stories. That was really good. Valiant Zeros and Origins, which is a good primer for the whole Valiant universe. The Hellboy Weird Tales thick hardcover was just a ton of Hellboy short stories, little 8-10 pagers. That was some good stuff too by people from all over the industry. And then Road to Riverdale was basically the first issue of all the new Archie comics, the new Mark Waid versions, and Betty and Veronica, Reggie and Me. Those overall last month, after I read them all, those were all really cool. But anyway, you guys don't care about last month as much. You want to hear about what's happening in this month's box. So I am going to get to it. Like I said, it is girl power. I tried to invite my 9-year-old daughter, Gretchen, to come and do it with me and see what she wanted to do, but she was a little shy, so she didn't want to be on the recording today. So anyway, here we go. Let me open it up, get rid of the box, and then open it up. All right, they always have it sealed nice and tight with a little description card. So there we go. Now I can get it out of here. Actually, the first thing is actually something I heard about that I wanted to read, I think. Well, maybe it's not what I was thinking of, but this is from Aspen Comics. It's Damsels in Excess by Vince Hernandez, Mirka Andolfo, Simone DeMeo, and Josh Reed. The complete first volume, Damsels in Excess. I'm kind of flipping through. It looks like, my guess, it's going to be like a twist on damsels in distress and the girls can take care of themselves kind of thing. It's got like a little kitty cartoony artwork style to it as I'm flipping through it. I saw some dragons and some monsters and, five realms, 5 princesses, 0 men. In the land of the 5 realms, the existence of men has long since been removed from the hearts and minds of women. Princess Bethany, ruler of Evanfar, the largest and most prominent kingdom, finds herself at the center of a vast conspiracy that could not only threaten her kingdom, but also her life. Journey to a place where magic is abundant, unicorns and ferrets can command armies, and 5 women struggle to find balance and power in an ever-changing fairy tale world. All right, well, I don't know anything about this, and I don't really know much about these creators either, too. Vince Hernandez and Mirka Andolfo. But, hey, I've never been the biggest fan of Aspen Comics in the past, but this looks like a big departure from your typical Mike Turner, just sexy women Aspen Comics type of story. Your Fathoms and things like that. So I will give this a whirl, and who knows, I'll read first. Maybe my daughter will dig on it. So, the next one. All right. It is Champions Volume 1, Change the World. I actually have already read this one. I checked this one out from the library, but I actually really enjoyed it. I was surprised. When I first heard about the Champions and kind of the cast of characters, I wasn't that enthused, and that's why a lot of times, I just kind of check a book out from the library just to kind of stay current and see what's happening. But I was actually pleasantly surprised by Mark Waid and Umberto Ramos. It was actually really good. I dug on it a lot, so I'm actually contemplating starting to Maybe I'll just start picking this one up in trade when it comes out. So, and hey, I've already got volume one now. So this is very cool. Champions volume one. All right. Our next one is from Dynamite Entertainment. It is L.A. Banks' Vampire Huntress, Volume 1, Dawn and Darkness, by, let's see, issues 1 through 4 of the original series written by L.A. Banks that takes place after the epilogue of the 12th and final Vampire Huntress novel. I've never heard of L.A. Banks' Vampire Huntress, but it says it's from the pages of the New York Times bestselling series. Who is this artist? He looks very familiar. Let me see. Artwork by, Brett Booth. Well, that's why I recognize it. Yeah, Brett Booth, obviously. I think he does lots of Titans now, I think, isn't he? Or he's done some Titans work in the recent past. He's just in the first issue. And then the artwork is by Greg Titus in issue 2 and 3 and N. Stephen Harris in issue 4. You know what? I will see how this goes. I mean, I have no clue what any of the book series is about. And apparently this takes place after the 12th book. So, you know, be a little learning curve for me to figure out what's going on. But as I'm kind of flipping through it, I don't know, vampires and wings and monsters and stuff. So we will give this one a whirl. So next one. Oh, Grim Fairy Tales. This is from Zenoscope. Grim Fairy Tales presents Wonderland, Clash of Queens, Age of Darkness by, this is from, who are the people that do this one? Story by Joe Brucia and Ralph Tedesco. And the writers are Raven Gregory, Troy Brownfield. And the artwork is by Manuel Pretano. Let's see. Clash of Queens. Now this, kind of, as I said about last month's Zenoscope, Tales of Terror, you know, that was a little departure from Zenoscope's usual just sexy women doing in fairy tales type stuff. This looks like it's going back to what I was kind of complaining about Zenoscope. It's just sexually drawn women or fairy tale characters, you know, so. As with everything with Comic Mento, I will give it a try. Looks a little horrible. I just saw a bunch of severed head and a bunch of boxes, and along with the severed horse head. So obviously a little horror aspect to this one, as most of the Grim Fairy Tale stuff with Zenoscope is. So let's see. Wonderland, Clash of Queens. Until now, the four queens of Wonderland have coexisted, ruling their corners of Wonderland without challenge. But when the Ebony Blade, a weapon forged by death itself, descends on their realm, they will be drawn into a conflict that plunges Wonderland into an age of darkness. Vying for control of the blade, each queen schemes with an army at her disposal. But a wild card named Trickster has her own plan, setting into motion a series of events that will culminate in all-out war. All right, so we'll see how that one goes. All right, and my last one is the hardcover that they sent me. Acnero, The Path of Cloak and Wolf by Justin Acklin and Vasilis Lolos. Okay, well, just on the cover, it looks like almost like a Red Riding Hood type of person, kind of fighting off a whole bunch of wolves with a sword and stuff. Let's see. This is done, like I said, who it was done by. I have not ever heard of this. This is from Dark Horse. From the brilliant imagination of video game auteur American McGee comes a dazzling re-envisioning of Red Riding Hood set in the wondrous world of Japanese folklore. Writer Justin Acklin and artist Vasilis Lolos take Connie, a young woman torn between two cultures, on an epic adventure battling devious yokai for the fate of her world. This one actually looks kind of cool. I'm trying to describe the art style and compare it to something that I can think of. It's not your typical DC and Marvel art styles. It's a little more eccentric. I mean, I'm a big fan of Japanese culture, samurai, that kind of stuff. I enjoy those stories very much. One of my all-time favorites is Lone Wolf and Cub and that whole series. So I dig a lot of those. Love a good samurai movie and such. This one actually looks very cool, and I'm highly interested to check this one out. So, like I said, with most of these, with my little daughter, I've been trying to introduce her to comics here and there when I can find something that's appropriate for her. I got her into Lumberjanes. She absolutely loves that kind of stuff. DC Superhero Girls. It's hard to introduce a 9-year-old to some of the more modern comics. So I'm finding what I can here and there. So maybe this Acaniero, however you say it, is going to be good for her. Just off the bat, the Damsels in Excess, the first one I talked about, that one, I bet you that might be appropriate after I give that one a whirl and give that one a read. Now, the Grim Fairy Tales, Wonderland, Clash of Queens, or the L.A. Banks Vampire Huntress, I doubt those are going to be too appropriate for little kids, but I'll see what after I read them. And obviously Champion, it's got a little boy-girl stuff in there, but, you know, I mean, but overall, Champions was very cool. So, but overall, I'm interested. Like I said, I've only read one of these Champions, and the other ones, seriously, all four of these I have never heard of. And that's actually one of the reasons why I love Comic Mento, is it really exposes me to a lot more stuff outside of my norm. So there you go. I mean, five books, four trades and one hardcover, all for like $25. So that was a pretty darn good deal. So, again, it's only around $25 for a month subscription. So, and I'm sure we're talking $70-$80 worth of books here. So, but anyway, that's it for this month. On the little card, it says next month's theme is going to be old school. So, they did something like that, in the past 6 months or something, throwback or reimagining the old or something like that. So old school. So I'm going to probably get some good classics in there or something like that, or reimaginings of classics or something. So anyway, that's Nathan. And that's what I got for this month. In my podcast next month, I'll give you just a quick, let you know if any of these things were actually good after I read them this month. So anyway, back to you, John and Kay. Thanks.
Okay, the pouch in front of me now is the shiny silver, pretty much 8.5 by 11-ish pouch from Arctify. These are usually pretty short segments, but it's funny, I think, on the per minute of segment versus per enjoyment of shirt kind of a thing, they do really well.
They do. They do. And, I mean, you're talking, what, $12.75, a little more than that, includes the shipping. It's great value.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get a shirt of this quality at this price. Much less at this level of geekdom or whatever. And there have been a couple that, like the Black Panther shirt and a few others, that really are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
So let's see what we got this time. All right, the material is, I think, more of a lighter weight, summer weight kind of a thing. And it's blue and it looks to be Spider-Man themed. Where it is, wow, another nice one. It's almost like a slate blue Spider-Man neighborhood hero with the kind of cursive-y N trailing back to be the underline for the thing, where neighborhood heroes inside of that. And then a really nice Spider-Man kind of web swinging or hanging below that.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of the, maybe the movie look, based on the blue around the boots and stuff like that. It looks very classic Spider-Man-y, but visible web shooters and armband, legband kind of things at the top of the glove and the boots type things is what's making me think maybe movie.
Well, and the white for the writing and the red on the costume pops off of this blue, even though it's a relatively sedate shirt.
Well, what's interesting is even the blue of the costume pops off.
Yeah.
Because it's more of an almost kind of a royal blue-ish, but not quite, for Spider-Man's costume. But then like a dark slate sky bluish kind of a thing.
Yeah. It's almost a dusk nighttime sky. Yes. Blue behind him.
Well, and it's got the streaks of white as if there's like stars kind of flying by or whatever, warp.
Yeah.
What's nice is the image of Spider-Man, like you said, does seem to pop off the shirt.
Yeah.
Is there anything on the back?
Not that I'm seeing. Now, it is a relatively, as you said, summer weight, thin shirt.
Yeah, you can see light through this.
I can see the Spider-Man and everything looking from the back through it.
Which is not a bad thing, because the last thing you want in the summer, particularly Texas summer, is a really kind of heavy shirt.
Yeah, especially when it's dark colored. So I think it's good.
So this is another hit. And again, these tend to be the shorter segments on the box light, but I'm really enjoying these shirts. I think they're nice and definitely would recommend this. Arctify is worth checking out.
Yeah, I think this is the one we've had the fewest thoughts about, should we skip it or not. Of all the boxes we've tried, this has been kind of the easiest. Yeah, let's stick with it.
I don't know that we've ever seriously considered not getting it. I think the only time we had any kind of decision point was at C2E2 when we found it.
Yeah.
And they had a really nice shirt there. So it's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and again, part of it is this is like half the price of any of the other boxes, if not a quarter of the price of some.
Yeah. Well, and this is the one that I come back to. And in fact, I may suggest it to some friends whose son is starting college in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just in terms of, if you want to send a kid to college a care package once a month, something that gives them, in some senses, more laundry, but also less laundry to do.
Yes.
What a gift.
Well, and also because there's just the one item, it's a pretty easy equation of cost benefit.
Yes.
Did I like the shirt or not? Do I feel I got my money's worth?
Yeah.
So, and it's doing pretty well in that respect. Anything else? We're good on this one.
That does it.
Okay, the box in front of me now is huge.
Yes, it is.
It is the DC Legion of Collectors. It's 11.5 inches by, I'm going to say 8 3/4 by 8 inches. It's taller, deeper than usual, I think.
Yeah.
Got the penguin on top. I do not recall what the theme is.
No, and it's funny because it would have come about the time the Wonder Woman movie came out, but we've already had the Wonder Woman box, haven't we?
One of the upcoming boxes is going to be a Batman animated series theme, and this could be
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It's not like we've got that many boxes either.
No, just seeing.
Although I have signed up for one or two other DC boxes. The World's Finest, was it?
World's Finest, and you are getting a Marvel Spider-Man something from somewhere. Superhero stuff.
Superhero stuff. We did another one, yeah. So next time around, we'll have a few other boxes and stuff. All right. So, opening this up. This is, I do believe, the animated series one.
Yeah, this is the box that always has the artwork inside to amuse you.
And it's very much Batman the Animated Series.
Nice.
We've got the pin and the patch. Give me a sec to make some noise as I get them out. Now, I'm willing to bet the listeners think I make a big to-do out of no noise. What they don't realize is I edit that all out.
You're just very politely asking me to can the Peanut Gallery comments while you are editing out the noise.
Pretty much. I also try to edit out all the motorcycles and jets flying behind us on the big street. We've got the Joker Legion of Collectors patch with playing cards of Spade, Heart, Diamond, Club. Apparently in that universe they don't put any ranks on the just suits.
Or there's a Joker in every suit?
Could be.
Instead of just two Jokers?
I'm actually surprised he's never had four henchmen. Club, Heart, Diamond, and Spade.
Well, that's because the Heart got clubbed by the Spade.
I would have the Heart and the Diamond be, of course, females. The Diamond one having a jewelry obsession. The Heart one always getting in trouble, probably with Harley.
Yes.
Club would obviously have a club. What to do with the Spade?
Gardening.
Yeah, exactly. And the pin is Catwoman with the classic kind of gray costume with the long gloves.
Oh, nice. I've got the Adam West show on the brain.
All right, I'm going to take the answer key that they put so conveniently on top and move it out of the way. Remind me to go over it. All right, the comic is Batman Adventures number 1 with a Funko Pop-style Legion of Collectors variant cover on it. Of course, both a classic cartoon and a really good comic series originally.
I like the pose of the Funko Pop Batman.
Yeah, I like how they also have the Zeppelins and stuff like that. So it's very much in the spirit of.
Yeah.
Mike Parabek did some of the art, I believe, for those early on.
Yeah.
It's a series I'm thinking of. He died way too young.
That's a very attractive cover on that one.
Yeah. I'm surprised that they haven't done a collection of these kinds of collector box covers for each of the different ones. If they haven't been stockpiling those to do as a kind of a thing, they should. All right, going for the t-shirt.
Black?
Black with red.
It may be similar to the cover.
Very much may be similar to the cover. Thicker, it's the Batman kind of with the cape held up, posing, you know, with the moon in the background, in this case, the red moon. Looking kind of fearsome, you know.
The funny thing is, it's a combination of, I want to say, an action pose and a bat signal pose.
Not quite a bat signal pose, but a little reminiscent thereof. It's the I am the knight sort of a pose.
Yeah.
Black t-shirt, pretty heavy quality, pretty thick.
Yeah.
This would be one that I'd be a little hesitant to wear in the Texas heat for fear I would burst into flames.
Yeah, the red kind of evokes that feeling.
But it's nice. Mm-hmm. We'll get to the big item in a few minutes. I need to clear out some space to be able to get it out of the box. We've got a Funko Pop Heroes. This is number 190. It is Mr. Freeze. Nice to get that in the summer.
Hmm.
Other ones of this group are, of course, Batman, Robin, Batgirl, Joker, Harley, and Poison Ivy. This, of course, looks very much like a Funko stylized version of the character from the cartoon, unsurprisingly.
I like the helmet a lot, but there's something about the goggled eyes that doesn't go exactly with what I was expecting.
There's something about goggles inside of a clear helmet like that that's just kind of weird.
Yeah, and that may be what's getting me.
But that's how the character was.
Interesting. Okay.
Have you ever seen that series? Some point we'll have to find a couple of episodes to go through. It was classic series and I think a defining one for Batman for a generation.
Interesting.
You've heard the voice of Kevin Conroy's Batman, I'm virtually certain.
Oh, yeah.
And again, that's what got him his start like 20 years ago as Batman.
Yeah.
All right. We've got a Dorbs Rides. These are with Z's. Number 34. It is the Batman animated series Batman with Batmobile. And this is like a golf ball sized head sticking out of the animated series Batmobile, which was an iconic version of it.
I was going to say it's the armored Batmobile compared to the one from the Adam West show. This is more of the sleek.
Yeah, well, this had a kind of a pop top or whatever. Normally, he wouldn't be sticking out of it like that. But it was an elongated kind of a car. And the grill has a little bit of a bat flair to it, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you mean.
If you flip to the back, they've got a good shot of
it. It just reminds me more of one of the movie Batmobiles than the Adam West Batmobile.
Yeah. And this would have been 90s somewhere, so it would have been after some of those. So definitely an influence from that.
Yeah.
And that's part of why the box was so big. That in and of itself is kind of huge. So going through the answer key to make sure we got everything right. And they've got some design sketches for the Batmobile. They talk a bit about the animated series comic. The shirt, the pin, the poster, or the not the pin, the poster, the pin, the patch. And some design sketches around the Mr. Freeze. Interesting they used Penguin on the top of the box, yet nothing for him in there.
Yeah.
And then next time, Legion of Collectors for September is going to be DC's Most Wanted. They have Lex Luthor, Bane, Joker, Captain Cold, Scarecrow, and Atrocitus, the Red Lantern. So three Batman villains, a Green Lantern villain, a Superman villain, and a Flash villain. So I would have expected it to have been leveled out across the heroes.
I would have expected fewer characters given the quantity of items they usually include.
I don't think we're going to get one for each. I think they're just trying to do this as DC villains in general.
Okay.
And it's clearly something that the art is just kind of, I don't say thrown together or whatever, but it's not like we see the legs of the Joker in the background and stuff like that. It's clip art.
Yeah.
Not bad, though. And speaking of that kind of art, again, panel upon panel on the inside of the box for the Batman animated series, they really do a good job with the interior theming of the box.
Yeah, they do.
So I tend to enjoy this. Again, things like the Batmobile is kind of cool, and the shirt and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else on this one?
I think you're good.
Okay, this next pile of stuff is about 9 inches by 12 inches by about 3 inches. It's long since been taken out of the box. This actually came in at least 2 different shipments. And this gets to the collector part of the box light, while we renamed it from that, from subscription box light.
You wouldn't be my brother if you weren't a collector.
I'm certainly an accumulator, that's for sure. This goes towards one of my other interests, and that's the Super Sentai Power Ranger stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to the website, there's an other section on the menu bar. And if you go below that, or maybe it's the Super Sentai, I always confuse where, there's a place to go to Super Sentai books.
Okay.
And I recently updated that page, recently as we record this, maybe not so recently when this goes up, to add one or two of my latest acquisitions. I don't have all of these on here because some of them are going to go on another page. But basically every year after Power Rangers has a yearly cadence where they do, like right now they're doing Ninja Steel, and then it'll be followed probably by Super Ninja Steel or Ninja Super Steel or whatever. They do a regular and then a super version.
Hmm.
But it used to be that every year they'd kind of flip the cast. Now it's an every other year cadence. And that gives them a bit more choice of what series they adapt, which makes sense. But on the, and they do about 20 episodes a season here. In Japan, they go for 48 to 53-ish episodes, because it's weekly, and it depends when does Christmas hit, that kind of stuff, or other big news events that get them preempted. And the series lasts a season and then gets replaced by another one. But for each season, or series actually, they do a guidebook, which is who are the monsters, what do the costumes look like, what are the power-ups, what are the widgets.
You know, one of the things that's registering with me, if you will, is when we have on American TV an event series that has really a one-season premise. I'm thinking of the TV show we watched that had the high schoolers that were kidnapped. And
I remember the show. I forget the name.
Yeah, that one. Okay, but it was clearly kind of a one summer season event series. And when that season has run its course, even if it ends with something that's, hey, more could be done with these characters or in this world, if they don't do another series, they refer to it as canceled, which I don't feel is fair because the premise was one season.
But imagine if NCIS, they've got a show in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
They've got another show where?
In L.A.?
L.A. Suppose if it was NCIS L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And then next season, it gets replaced by NCIS New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by NCIS San Diego. Followed by NCIS somewhere else.
See, and I think that would be fascinating. Because
that's what they do for Super Sentai.
You're taking a concept you know and love, and you're mixing up everything else. You're mixing up location. You're mixing up character dynamics. You're bringing new blood, for lack of a better phrase, into the series in almost every possible dynamic.
And again, they do that with the Super Sentai shows, even to the point where they have, in addition to the weekly stuff, a movie, theatrical movie. It's about the same length of an episode or whatever, that teams them up with the previous one.
Nice.
Or a special, a little longer movie that's just a bigger adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how the Batman series in 66 had its movie.
Yeah.
Okay. But as you can imagine, there's a lot of material there. So they have, you know, 100-page plus thick book. And what they used to do is they used to sell the book.
Yeah.
You're like, John, you have the book right there. I do. What I also have right there is the Blu-ray. For the movie.
And I gotta say, I like the package you just pulled the Blu-ray out of. It's pretty darned awesome looking.
They've got a cardboard kind of a packaging to make it the size of a magazine so they can bundle the book with the DVD, which of course takes what would be a $20 book and makes it a bit more.
A lot more, unless I missed my guess, because the DVDs and Blu-rays in Japan are not the price. DVDs
yes.
and Blu-rays are in America.
But for all of that, I do get the Blu-ray.
Yes.
It's a little hard sometimes to tell what version of it comes with or without the thing. I probably could have gotten a cheaper version of this, if I'd done the DVD versus the Blu-ray, but I found one that had what I wanted. I figured go for the higher quality. Obviously, I can watch this. I can listen to this. I can't understand the Japanese, but eventually I'll get a translated version or whatnot. I am 38 out of 48 episodes through this, not having seen this movie either. There are ways to go watch kind of the translated version. But I'm also fully supporting the Shout Factory releases of the Super Sentai stuff when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
And encourage people to check those out because they're doing some of the earlier ones. And when they catch up to the current seasons and stuff, I'll still be getting those too. But I'm getting this less for the Blu-ray than for the book. And again, I've got these books going back through, I think, the series before Power Rangers was adapted from. Jetman.
Are these books kind of like DK books?
I would say so. Now, keep in mind, they go backwards.
Yeah.
They've got a table of contents inside the front cover.
Which is the back cover.
Yeah, the rightmost cover if you open it. Kind of here's the overview of the team. But then they start going into the different weapons and different rangers, and you get here's the actor in his standard look, front, side, back.
Mm-hmm.
Same with him in costume as the different versions of him.
Great reference for cosplayers and artists alike.
Yes. And being just an information junkie, I mean, with the Red Ranger in this case, it was an animal themed season, and when the season started, it was really kind of knocked for just the simplicity of the suits. It's really, they've got a form-fitting suit with, like, a screen-printed thing on it. I mean, the guy's suit is all red. He's got the gloves with a little bit of embellishment around the edge, the belt, the boots, but it's just a red spandex suit with a silkscreen eagle on it.
When you say being knocked, though, do you mean by the American audience or by the native audience?
By the American. I don't know how it was received there in Japan.
See, and I just wonder, because as an American audience, we tend to want bigger, flashier, brighter, you know what I mean? In terms of we're asking for more special effects in our movies and that kind of thing. And I wonder if the Japanese audience is the same way.
The Japanese audience this is aimed for is like 7, 8 maybe. And so I don't know.
Well, that's true, but you're still talking about our Harry Potter audience.
True, true. I don't know how it was received over there. I do know that the American audience that's into the Super Sentai side of it, I'm used to what I've got.
Mm.
So any change, oh, one season they don't have belts. This is the first season they've never had belts. Oh, they've got capes again. Why do they have capes? You know, there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So certainly there's some of that, but there's an aspect of the simplicity of the look certainly grew on me over the course of the season, as does usually any series, because it's like, I don't know these characters, I don't know this look, I get used to it, then it's the norm.
See, I'm glancing at that picture and I'm thinking the parents of kids who are into it must be looking at that thinking, that's simple enough. If my kid wants to dress up as the Ranger, it's possible.
I'm sure they have plenty of dress up regardless of how complex this, some of the stuff is.
There is that.
In this case, though, the lead character has eagle motif to where he can power up and get the wings. He then also gets a gorilla motif with like an overstuffed kind of a costume, and the helmet changes a little, and the screen printing on the suit changes. And then he's got a whale motif, so yet again, it goes there, and then it like all combines or something. I haven't gotten to that point. But to have, here's what his whale gun looks like, front, back, side, center, all of that, do that for each of the different characters, for the Rangers, including the sixth Ranger, the seventh Ranger, which I don't know if he's sticking with the team or not. I've just gotten to where he's introduced. But then you go through and we start getting all the Zords, all of the different monsters, and episodes and all of that is kind of just a recap of the full season. Further back is where we start to get the monsters and stuff. And again, even most of those have a front, back, and side kind of a deal. So, and they get to where they're doing the crossover movie, and for that, at the end of the episodes, they've got the opening credits, they still do credits and stuff, and those change in the course of the season, like when they introduce the Sixth Ranger and whatnot.
Interesting.
But at the end, they go to like an end music kind of deal. It's not the credits. I'm trying to think, maybe they've got the credits rolling. But it's something that gives them a chance to do another kind of literally song and dance, because they're all doing that. And sometimes they will later in the season show clips that people have sent in of their kids doing it.
Nice.
So it's kind of a subtle way to get the kids to get up, do a little exercise kind of a deal.
Yeah.
But then with the crossover movie, what they did is they had animal motif characters from previous seasons kind of in their intercut, which was kind of interesting. So having, again, the full kind of reference material for everything is just, it's a ton of fun. More so if I could read Japanese, but it's more picture book than textbook.
Agreed.
There's a ton of text, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah, but the pictures are informative. And that's why I was asking if you would compare it to a DK book.
I would say it is a DK collection of books. Okay. Crammed into one.
Yes, I can see what you're saying.
If DK, I mean, basically, again, this is like a 48 episode plus 2, maybe 3 movies crammed into 100 pages with front, back, side photos of all the lead characters, a segment on every episode, all the Zords, and they've got like the 10 cubes, the different looks for the cubes, the different way they combine, all the different monsters and such. So it is a information-rich thing, and DK books are awesome.
Yeah, exactly, which is why they came to mind.
But comparatively sparse.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because if we look at this and go to just a random page...
There's not a blank square inch or millimeter, yeah. Really.
Everything is getting used. There's photos, there's text, it's the...
It reminds me of how population-dense Japan itself is.
Yes. The putting together of this, I mean, even here where we've got just the cubes and stuff, they've got one column that's got the 6 main cubes, all the different sides of them, some text explaining all of this, opposite page, here's what they look like unfolded to their animal things. Because this is like an 8-bit version mentality motif for the series. It's just packed with information.
Yeah.
So it's a DK style book, but at an information density that is just far beyond that. And what I find interesting is this is for a kids show.
Yes.
Kids aren't looking for that much information about anything. So I found that kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing I've got, and let me see. I got these in two different orders I placed with Amazon Japan. Okay. With one of them, I got that other book with. They have what is known as a MOOC, M-O-O-K. It's a magazine book.
Oh, okay.
It's somewhere between the two.
Yeah.
And these things are huge. They're, 9 inches by, what did I say before?
12?
11 and a half.
Yeah.
So bigger than our magazines. And it was a little hard to know what to make of this to begin with. But it's one that is celebrating the 40th anniversary of Super Sentai. Complete with using, in their opening of this one, the Zero issue, a shot from the 35th season where they had all the Rangers kind of lined up. But then kind of going season by season and giving kind of, here's some of the highlights of the team, focusing on the Red Ranger and stuff like that.
Well, and what a classic opportunity to see the costume from one season to the next.
Yeah.
Just page after page.
And this kicked off a series of these that go into a bit more detail on the different seasons. Now, what's confusing me about this is they've got like a binder for it. So it's almost like an Eagle Moss kind of with the Star Trek ships.
Yeah,
they've got
it
with Doctor Who and stuff. But it's just the magazines, which is a shame because if they'd had the Red Ranger and stuff, man, I'd have been all over that. That one, actually, I had to get through eBay. The rest of this I was able to get through Amazon Japan for like $6-$7 a piece.
That's not bad for something that size, quality, etc. Because these are reminding me of the $10 special edition magazines you see on the newsstand here.
It's like this one, and they're coming out in a random order. They're not numbered sequentially.
Yeah.
And they come out like every other week. So number 4, which was one of the earlier ones, I think, I'd have to go look at the release date, is on Deca Ranger from about a decade ago. And it's like, okay, here's all the different characters. Here's what they look like. It's not as good as the series book I have for Deca Ranger, but it's like, here's all the different monsters they fought.
Yeah, well, postage stamp size, summaries almost. It's fascinating.
It's essentially it's got an episode for, or a write-up for a lot of the different, I don't know if it has all of the different episodes. It's only seeing act up through act 1 to 14, or maybe they're just going through the different arcs.
That's what I'm wondering.
Don't read Japanese. Don't know.
John.
But it's essentially a condensed version of one of those season books.
Yeah.
And the page count is obviously a fraction of that. It's still 30 some odd pages-ish.
Yeah.
So number 4 covers Deca Ranger, which became Power Rangers SPD. 11 does... Gokaiger, the pirate themed one, which became Super Mega Force. This is by far my favorite season because it references all the other seasons before it. And again, they've got, here's the looks of the different characters and whatnot. So good full pages. Looks like it's got an interview with the guy who played Captain Marvelous, the leader. A lot of just some great reference type stuff. All the different keys, because their morpher had a key that would give them the power of a previous ranger. So, of course, they were able to sell a ton of toys.
Yeah.
And then here's some of the guest stars they had and whatnot. It's just what they have in these is going to be a little different from one to one, but it's fun. Then they had number 8, which does Go Onger, which became RPM.
Okay.
Power Rangers RPM. And again, you just get the kind of the highlights of the series and whatnot. And again, in Japan, kids kind of grow up, they go through a season or two, and then move on in some cases. Some cases not. Just like a lot of kids would read comics for a little bit and move on.
Yeah.
I just, again, find this a lot of fun just for the reference material and whatnot. And you just look at the creativity that this production company's had over a 40-year period. Number 2 is on Hurricanger, which became Power Rangers Ninja Storm.
Well, when you think about a 40-year period... kids today are watching a show that is an evolution of, but with a common bond to, a show their parents watched when they were kids. And that may be part of what drives these magazines and MOOCs, is parents wanting to learn more about what their kids are into and having that conversation piece and common bond.
Mm-hmm. And here's one that's interesting in the Hurricanger, how they've got a bit at the bottom here of all the different Red Rangers and stuff. So at some point I may scan the heck out of this just for, again, some reference material.
Yeah.
Number 13 does, this is where I get a little hard on pronouncing the things and remembering them, because again, 40 season. Koyuger, I think it is. I could be wrong. It's the one that became Power Rangers Dino Charge.
Got it.
And Super Dino Charge. This one actually wound up with like 10 Rangers. So they had plenty of stuff to go with. And again, this was another one where different batteries for the thing gives it different powers.
Yeah.
So they have turned selling toys into an art form. Now, what's interesting with this series is there is a follow-on series in Korea, maybe?
Interesting.
That is different characters with the same sorts of powers in a continuing adventure, I think.
Huh.
Haven't watched, don't know. And then we've got number 16, which is the current season, which is the more animal-based one. And again, it's just, it's great reference material. And also, I like how they do this at a lower price point to where if you're just kind of casually interested or whatnot,
yeah,
you could pick this stuff up versus the do you want to invest in the series book like I did.
Yeah.
And we've got Abba Ranger, which became Dino Thunder. The next one became Samurai.
Ah.
And that's the hard part, is remembering both the names on both sides. Shinkanger. Yeah. And then Gal Ranger, which was 10th season of Power Rangers and became Wild Force. Catchy theme song. And again, it's just fun reference material. So this is one of those that what I do is I let them kind of stack up a bunch that are now available for release. It takes, you know, a couple of months because they're doing like on the 10th and 25th release type deal. It's like, okay, let's pull the trigger on that. And then like this time I got the season book with the Blu-ray.
Very cool.
Like I said, I've got those season books going back 15 years, maybe more. And for a couple of years, they apparently were in a boom period where they did two. And they were releasing just the books at that point, not the book with the movie.
Yeah.
So I think the popularity and stuff has kind of come and gone. But just again, the reference junkie in me and just the Super Sentai fan finds this a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, it's very cool.
And you look at this kind of stuff and I think, how have they not done a subscription box for the Super Sentai stuff?
I agree. Well, okay, part of that, though, is in terms of the Super Sentai straight up, you're talking whole different culture.
True. I guess subscription boxes probably don't work well in Japan, where they're a bit more space conscious.
Yeah.
I still think a Power Ranger and or Super Sentai version for the American audience would work.
And really, if you did a subscription box in Japan or a Super Sentai-based one, I would think the key would be to design a box that came out with the magazines for the month, a helmet or something.
I've shown you the helmet collection I've got.
So desk knickknack size, but very, very small, keychain size, something like that, but make everything else digital.
I don't know if I'd go with that, but I think to your point, I would keep the box about the size of some of these larger Funko Pop things we've got. To where it's a couple, it's about the size of, you know how we used to have those desk school supply boxes?
Yes.
Or lunchbox size.
Yeah.
6 inches by 3 inches tall by about 5 inches deep, if that, somewhere around that size. Something to where you've got enough height to put one of those helmets in. You could fit one or two of the little Gashapon size 2 inch tall figures that are non-posable, a couple of index card type things, a booklet like would fit into a Blu-ray kind of a case.
What if each time you got one of the things that looked like one of those keys you showed me a picture of, but when you opened it, it was a USB drive that you could plug into your computer and it had your magazine for the month, etc. Just because there is still, you've got the cool something to look at, but it's very space conscious.
Certainly that would work. It'd be even cooler if you had the USB in the form of a Power Ranger, because I've gotten one or two of those in the past.
That's very cool.
but something to, they could do small knickknacks, and I'd kind of like that, because if they did something where over the course of, you know, every month getting it, you start to build out that yes. huge roster of characters. But you figure a helmet, again, like a golf ball size helmet.
Yeah.
A tiny little figure, the 2-inch size Gashapon, they did that for the 30th anniversary. They did the helmets for the 35th.
Yeah.
So they've got this sort of thing they could go back to the well and do. I've also, when we were in Japan, we'd seen little Gashapon size morphers and stuff.
Yes.
If it's something where over the course of time, you're starting to build up, here's your arsenal of morphers, little tiny weapons, little replicas of the characters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And a tiny little, you know, magazine-ish sort of a thing that gives you some of this sort of reference material, whatever.
Well, if they could be doing it at a price point that makes sense on both sides, where you're getting something that is knick-knack to look at, cool, but it's a USB drive that has ebooks, basically, of the magazines that came out that month, the content you want, and maybe a theme song for a series as a ringtone.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you see what I'm saying? Give you digital content so you aren't...
Even if they didn't include the USB, they could do a QR code to go get that from a website.
Very true.
So it'd be more cost-effective. But yes. Certainly, if I could get, here's the theme music for a season, or a ringtone version of uh-huh. it, or some key sound clips when they're doing the Morphin Call or whatever... Or desktop theme for
yes
the characters or whatnot.
A wallpaper for your computer and your phone.
I would be so all over that. It's not even funny. It'd be cool. And it's something I think they could do for minimal space consumption and minimal cost.
Yeah.
And something that I think could keep a lot of people kind of engaged with the property.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think it'd be hard to do a version that catered towards Power Ranger branding and a version for Super Sentai branding.
Yeah, and a version or a combo pack for people like you who are into both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we need to find somebody to go talk and sell that idea to, or convince of that idea at the very least. Anything else, or is this just a really impressive collection of magazines and books?
I just think it's really cool, because like you, I'm an information junkie.
Yeah. Okay, the box in front of me now is another one from Superhero Stuff. It's a hero box on Spider-Man.
It is.
They successfully advertised to us.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike other boxes, this is a buy one box, not a sign up for a never-ending supply.
Yes.
And this one had a Spider-Man hoodie that just looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was guaranteed to be in the box. There, I think it may have been two designs. A gray one or a Spider-Man looking one. Obviously, I think we're hoping for the Spider-Man looking one, but even the gray one was nice.
True.
They had a two sizes of box, $49 one and a $69 one. The $49 gives you $70 worth of stuff. The $69 gives you $100 worth of stuff. We were going to splurge for the larger one, but it didn't have a shirt in my size, whereas the smaller one did, which is a little perplexing, but okay. So we went with the smaller one. See, I can budget my money poorly. I mean, well.
Yes.
So this is 12.5 inches by 10 inches by 6 inches. Not a small box.
No.
I'll open it up. We shall confirm with the invoice how much I spent. I had forgotten to include the $5.99 shipping, and it's $49 even, for a total of $54.09. So we shall see if we get that much value. Noise as I remove packaging paper, which presumably is what is the difference between the $49 and the $69 version. They get nicer paper.
Okay.
Or at least that much stuff.
I was going to say, you don't think they get stuff that fills the space and they get the same size box?
Could be.
Okay.
I'm sure they do. We have a vinyl bobblehead mystery mini, which could be Spidey, Spider-Gwen, Sandman, Scarlet Spider, the Lizard. Wow, it could be a lot of them. Spider-Woman, Alice Spider. So, one of three different Spider-Men. Again, Green Goblin, Dr. Ock, Vulture, Silk, Kraven, Spider-Woman, Spider-Gwen. So, all right. So, Peter Parker, Miles Morales, or the Ben Reilly of... Or whichever Scarlet Spider. So three Spider-Men, three Spider-Women-ish characters. Spider-Woman, Silk, and Spider. A plethora of villains, of course. Venom, Black Cat, Lizard, Rhino, and Sand. With differing percentages, favoring... looks like favoring Spider. But it favors the incredibly well-sided to play the odds on this one. It's before I open?
No, I want you to open. I was afraid you weren't going to open and you were just going to hand me the mysterious package.
Oh, it's got plastic around it, so that's interesting. Typically, that's not how they do it. I'm probably going to cut out the laughter, too. I may not. I may keep the crinkling. Normally, I try to be really quiet when I do this, but sometimes it's like, forget it. So you take the plastic, clear plastic around from the box. It's not really, well, I guess it was sealed, but it, glue, sex is heat, forget it.
Yeah.
And then you get the, I'm going to say it's the Venom one because it's an all black bag. But I'm going to say something else is inside of it.
It's a black air pillow.
I'm going to say it's a small figure with a really large head. That's not... We shall open it up, and again, bobble-headed and backwards-headed. It's Spider-Man, but...
For anyone who ever wondered just how fast and far Spider-Man can move, that is one heck of an action figure.
Spring-loaded, literally.
Yes.
The head is on backwards.
Yes.
And with the spring, I can't seem to... No, there, I got it. Okay, now it's on forward. It's so confusing. It's like almost like a Deadpool version or something at that point.
Oh.
So, classic Spider-Man.
Well, I'm impressed how quickly you retrieved him from across the room.
Again, these edit down substantially. I think it's about a 3-hour recording and about a 10-minute clip when I'm done. No, I'm kidding, not quite that. Close.
I want to give you credit for entertaining your sister.
All right, next we've got a cellophane-wrapped sort of a thing. It's obscuring the visibility of it.
It's like they were afraid every package would open in transit. Coffee cup?
Yes, it's a color change coffee mug, which...
Does Spider-Man shoot webs when you put a beverage in?
No, his spider sense goes off. If you look closely, you can see where the lines are for the spider sense.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And if you look on the side, it says hot and cold, so the hot, I think, turns it on.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which, if you think about it, hot, danger.
Yeah.
So, McFarlane era-ish Spider-Man, not to say he drew it himself, but if you look at the webbing, it's got the trajectory of the web, but then the circle around it of webbing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how Spider-Man's webbing looked pre-McFarlane. Of course, it's been 25-plus years it's been that way, so...
Yay!
So the next item is a tiny little pin with Spider-Man's logo.
You just gotta give your sister grief at this point.
Yeah, that's not what she was yaying about. We got the actual Spider-Man red hoodie and stuff, which we got this in your size, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Right.
I was gonna say, why is it a medium? It's a $59.50 medium. But definitely looks cool.
I get to make noise.
Yeah, try it on. I think in the Texas heat it'll go well. So the hoodie part, actually, it zips up and down, and it's got the eye socket type stuff. So it's like Spider-Man's mask or whatever. It's a quasi-cosplay kind of a design.
Okay, so I could actually take this for when the convention center gets too cold.
Or when you want to go incognito.
Yes!
It's a good design.
And it comes with iMac braid protection.
Yes. Which you need. Con is dangerous for that. Anyone who hasn't met my sister, she has long hair. And by long hair, I'm like Rapunzel type long hair is what I mean. We had 1 year at Comic-Con. We were standing around with a couple of friends. It was near the end of the day or whatever. It was a lull in activity. I forget how or why or whatever. But it was by the Image booth. And it was... you, me, Rich was definitely there.
Yes.
A few others. And this was 5-6 years ago at least. And this other guy, no idea who he was, comes just flying by. He was on a mission to get somewhere fast. He cuts, because we're kind of in a conversation, kind of a bubble or whatever, a foot or two, a couple of feet away from the corner of the Image booth, where it's an intersection kind of thing at the time. Guy cuts kind of behind you in front of the booth. And then the next thing I kind of notice, a high school buddy of mine, Rich, is reaching his arm out, stopping, I think, you from flying.
Stopping me from flying, and the image guy.
The image guy, and I don't know who it was, but I
thank him profusely. He reaches across the table of merchandise, grabs the guy's shoulder, and stops him dead in his tracks.
Yeah.
What had happened is the guy's zipper on his backpack had caught my sister's braid and was yanking her head and knocking her completely off balance.
Yeah, he was pulling my head off my shoulders, it felt like, and pulling me to the side.
It was a complete accident, and the guy had no clue what was going on. He's like, dude, I didn't touch anything on your table. He's like, yeah, but look at the girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the guy's first response was, dude, I don't want to buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
And bless his heart, the image guy said, no, I get that, but you probably didn't want to hurt the girl either.
So it took a little bit to kind of, you know, get you disentangled from the zipper or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just a freak accident. Fortunately, you weren't hurt, although I think your neck was mighty sore.
Yeah, I had a pulled muscle, and I actually, from clamping my jaw shut, had a dental problem.
Well, and just startled and stuff, too. You know how they always have at the roller coasters, keep everything inside?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. It's not the sort of thing you'd think about as a danger and cons. Yes. Braid protection.
Yes.
Now, in my size, I actually got a t-shirt. And I applaud Superhero Stuff for allowing you to pick different size for the sweatshirt and the t-shirt.
That's very cool.
This is a pale red Spider-Man Homecoming shirt for the new movie. Because it's got kind of the Spider-Man... he's got a spider light he can do. He doesn't do it often. But that kind of splayed out circular version of the mask. And then Spider-Man Homecoming is the name of the yada.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Next up, we have the red and blue Spider-Man themed socks.
They love to put socks and drinking vessels in their boxes.
Well, yeah, you're almost always guaranteed to get a sock. I think in the more expensive one, maybe a cap as well or something.
Mm-hmm.
Superhero Stuff sticker. I appreciate that they always include a 15% off orders over $50 coupon. What they don't really mention on it is it doesn't work for hero boxes. And I get it, because you're already getting a good deal.
Yeah.
Now, this next item, I used to have a coworker who is a Spider-Man box, right?
Mm-hmm.
Afraid of spiders.
Oh, yes.
One year we went through Big Bend.
Yes.
We were going through, I forget if it was the federal or state
park. It was the state park.
T-shirts. There was this one that was a white shirt. I mean, a vibrant white shirt with like a photorealistic, I don't know, 5-inch tarantula spider kind of a thing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, if I wore that to work, this particular coworker, he would do like one of those Scooby-Doo Shaggy shoot through the roof kind of, you know, you'd see the silhouette. I mean, literally, he would have done that. So I opt not to get it because I like said coworker. He's no longer with the company. Moved on, which is a shame. Good guy. But I took a photo of it. So I get back and we're in one of those cubicle farm kind of a deals. And I'm sitting on one aisle. He's across the aisle, but a few in front of me, there's another coworker that I send the photo to. Because I waited, because I had sent it to me at work.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see other people's reaction when they said, it's like, I thought about getting this for so-and-so. And this other coworker gets, oh man, you should have. The coworker, afraid of spiders, pops up. It's like, I don't know what you two are talking about, but yeah, it sounds like you should have. I'm like, yeah, you don't know what we're talking about. Because again, that was, I think somebody at one point put an image of a spider like on his desktop and he needed somebody else to take it off. It was full on phobia.
Yes. Yes.
As funny as such things can be. Why do I mention all of this? Well, the last item is a Oscorp Research Department radioactive spider.
Oh, God.
And it's just a little, you know, plastic spidery thing. But again, the packaging is what makes it as much as the,
yes,
you know, few pennies of plastic they did with it. I'm sure you could get these by the bucket load around Halloween.
Yeah.
But doing it with the Oscorp and the marketing and stuff, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. And so. It's pretty good quality.
Yeah. Well, and again, they do good stuff. Yeah. The shirt's nice. And it was funny because I had actually priced out the hoodie.
The hoodie's awesome.
And when I realized the hoodie is more than the box, I'm like, well, yeah, I'll get the box.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact they said, yep, guaranteed to be in there. I mean, that's a smart marketing.
Yeah.
And of course, they usually have a pretty good booth at, I know they were at C2E2. Do they use not?
I'm thinking
one of the other t-shirt companies.
Yeah. Oh, I know the one you're thinking.
There's the one that has the Tower of Stylin.
Stylin. That's it.
It has the Tower of Stuffacon.
Yeah. In more than one place.
Usually like two, three.
Yes.
Yeah. Huge amount of shirts.
And I usually go look, and I usually don't find it. Just, ooh, I must
have. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what was in the box. Again, I think good return on the investment.
Yeah. The hoodie is...
The hoodie alone
yeah.
pretty much guaranteed that.
Yeah.
I've got a growing collection of coffee mugs and the like. Not that I drink coffee, but nice to have.
No, but I think you could do rotating pencil mugs on your desk at work just for the conversation piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else on this?
I think we're good.
I think we reserve the superhero stuff for when they have a cool must-have kind of a deal. But
mm-hmm.
again, it's not a subscription thing, which I really like.
Yeah.
Because that way it's not a, oh, geez, how do I cancel this?
Yes.
One and done. So worth checking out.
Hi, Nathan here with the July 2017 Comic Bento subscription box opening segment. Like any good classic Marvel and DC comics, I'm going to assume that this is the first time you've ever listened to one of these, so I'll tell you all about what Comic Bento is. Comic Bento is a monthly subscription box that costs around $22 to $25 a month, plus $5 shipping. And with that, you get a box of 4 or 5 trade paperbacks or hardcovers every month. Every month has a specific theme. This month's theme that the Comic Bento warned me about is called Old School. We're enrolling you in classes like Leadership 101, Advanced Swordplay, and Intro to Kirby. So this is sounding pretty interesting. The sneak peek they talk about is inside is there's a reinvention of a very classic, very old school character. Not sure how old, if they're going back to the Golden Age or what there. Next one's a creation by the king of the old school, Jack Kirby. That sounds awesome. I love me some Jack Kirby. Who does not love some Jack Kirby? Stories that go from space to swordplay to superheroes. Don't know what that's going to be. And this box contains a character who is the next Harley Quinn / Deadpool. So I'm going to assume they're meaning some who they think is some next up and coming hot character. But anyway, I am going to just dive right in here. Hold on. Came in the mail today. Box came a little bit banged up on me, but you know, nothing too crazy. Let's see. And let's go. They got it all. Throw the box away. Let's use my scissors and slice her open. And let's see. I see 4 books. Really, a real quick look. 4 of them here. And let's pull out. And I'll set the little card aside in case I need any extra details. What this is on top, the first book is The Avengers by Mark Waid and Barry Kitson. Not sure, it's just The Avengers from 2016, 1.1 to 5.1. Honestly, I don't know if I heard about this one or not. A classic feeling team updated for a modern reading experience, according to Newsrama.com. My guess, I mean, I love Mark Waid and Barry Kitson. They do some awesome stuff. And I'm just kind of flipping through. It looks a little bit actually like a retelling of some of the old classic Avengers from the 60s. But it actually looks like instead of the original classic Avengers team of Thor, Iron Man, Hulk, Giant Man, Wasp, it looks like it's going to be retelling the second team. When you've got Captain America and then Hawkeye, Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver. That's what that looks like. Like I said, Mark Waid, Barry Kitson, Mark Bagley, Sean Isaacs, Roe Stein, lots of different people on this. This sounds awesome. Waid and Kitson have teamed up and done a lot of good stuff over the years. So I'm always excited to see that. Even if it is a retelling, I'd be curious to see a different little take on it. That was book one. Book two, Cinderella, Serial Killer Princess. I don't know if this is what they mean by the Harley Quinn Deadpool next type of book, but from Zenoscope Press, Cinderella, Serial Killer Princess by story by Joe Brucia and Dave Franchini, writer Dave Franchini, and artwork by about 5 different guys: Salvador Cafari, Fritz Casas, Mark Rosette, Manuel Pretano, and Eduardo Garcia. This looks like it's set in the Grimm Fairy Tales universe. Gotten a lot of those from Comic Bento lately. It says the story takes place after the events of Grimm Fairy Tales Apocalypse.
doesn't mean anything to me since I don't generally follow those books. The only time I ever read them is when I get one of them from Comic Book Toe. Generally not the biggest fan of all the Grimm fairy tales. The only one I really liked was actually just a series of one-shots, little one-and-done issues about some classic takes on things. Don't know how this is going to fit into all of it. As I probably, you've heard me say before, Zenoscope, they like to draw the sexy ladies, you know, and usually the story doesn't really follow along very well. So, but anyway, I will give it a try. Cinderella Serial Killer Princess. Next one. Here's our Kirby. From Dynamite, Kirby Genesis, Captain Victory. I'm trying to remember what these all were. If these were just, characters that Kirby had kind of created, but never really, you know, got published or put down on paper or anything. But this is, like I said, Kirby Genesis, Captain Victory. It's written by Sterling Gates, and art is by a few people, different people, Wagner Reese, Steve Scott, Dennis Calero, and Joe St. Pierre. This is reprinting issues 1 through 6. This one came out back in 2012. So it's been around for a few years. I don't know, somehow. Sometimes Comic Bento finds a deal or an old box somewhere or some closeout and stuff, and that's how they find this stuff real cheap. It's got some covers by Alex Ross, though, which is always a treat just to see those. Just kind of flipping through it. It definitely, some of the characters, you can see the design of the characters has a definite Kirby feel. Like I said, don't really know if these characters ever actually got published anywhere or anything like that. But just kind of flipping through. It looks like... Oh, no, that's not a... For a second, I thought it was a Kirby cover in the back. But no, it's Michael Avon Oeming doing a little aping Kirby a little bit there. So, okay. I will give that. I mean, Dynamite all seems to put out good books. I like Dynamite a lot. So, and our last book is... Sovereign by Chris Roberson and Paul Mayberry from Image Comics. I have no clue what the heck this is. Chris Roberson, that name rings a bell to me. Let me flip to the back. What does Chris Roberson do? Okay, yeah. Oh, he wrote some of the Fables spin-off series. Oh, he co-created iZombie with Mike Allred. Okay. Yeah, no, I've read some of his stuff before. Yes, now it's coming back to me. Now it's starting to ring a bell. Yeah, so, again, let's see. An epic fantasy in the tradition of Game of Thrones, Sovereign is set in a world which once knew gods, demons, and magic, and to which all three are returning. Tells the story of amassed undertakers facing the undead with swords, of civil wars and cultures in collision, of ancient threats emerging from the ashes, of history to menace the future. All right. Well, that one. Cover art's, it's not your Jim Lee type of style artwork. It's more like a little Paul Pope, kind of like that. It's kind of the impression I'm getting. You know, if someone else actually knows what this artwork is like, maybe I'm completely off on my Paul Pope comparison, but that's the first thing that popped into my head when I read this. So, and that is it. Just to kind of recap, we have Avengers with Mark Waid and Barry Kitson. We have Cinderella, Serial Killer Princess. We have Kirby Genesis, Captain Victory. And Sovereign from Image Comics. Overall, most of these, the only one I could care less about really is the Cinderella Serial Killer Princess. All the other ones I'm intrigued to read. They sound pretty cool. So anyway, that is all of it for Comic Bento for July 2017. Let me flip over, see if they tell me. For next month, the little blurb is, up next, grab your trunks and snorkel and be sure to bring an umbrella because Bento gets wet. So my first thing that pops into my mind is like an Aquaman or a Namor the Submariner, type of comic. But who knows? Gets wet. I always like to just play the game in my head and figure out what they could possibly be. They do like to get some Aspen Entertainment in here, so I could see a Fathom. I think she's like kind of an underwater type of character. Other than that, I got no clue. So I'm looking forward to my next month and looking forward to reading these. Anyone ever has a question, always you can find me on the forums or shoot me a question. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. See you next time.
Okay, the box in front of me now is actually sitting in a hotel room in San Diego. We're recording this during Comic-Con. And it's one that we had picked up from Styling online. Uh-huh. That does. They're the ones with the big t-shirt booths. I mean, they've got like three of them. They also had some mystery boxes. This one is authorized by the brand holder and stuff. It's also pretty big. It is Saban's Power Ranger mystery box. It is pretty much a square box that we didn't think to bring a ruler. So it's a little bit longer than a comic book, a little bit wider than a comic book by maybe half an inch or an inch in each direction. And it is not as tall as a comic book, but definitely taller than a comic book is wide by, I'm going to say, inch and a half, 2 inches.
Stand the comic book back up, and are staples in a uniform place?
Presumably. It's just below the top staple.
Okay.
Clever, sister.
I have my moments.
That's not a metric we're going to be using on an awful lot on these collector box lights, but I've been saying a lot that they really ought to do a Power Ranger box, and lo and behold, they did. So I had to get it. I will admit I did not get it on the first opportunity because I didn't want to lug it around all day. This thing is huge. It's also weight-wise a little off-center.
Ah, yeah.
So when I was carrying it, the block or two out of the convention center, the couple of blocks to the car, it's like find the corner that's the heaviest and use that. It's got a handle in the middle of the thing, but it's one of those where it...
Yeah. Yeah, I can see it tilting away from the handle.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that'd be a good way to securely get it across.
I liked the person as we were walking across the streets who said, well, if nothing else, you bought an awesome box.
Yeah, there was a... I'm going to use the term an elderly couple, by which I mean they were a little older than we are, because we're not a young couple anymore. We're
exactly.
Not a couple, we're brother and sister, but we're not young anymore, and these people were a little older than we were.
Uh-huh.
And I think older enough to not really get the mystery box concept. You paid money for something you don't know what is. Why would you do that? And that's a fair comment. And I explained that, you know, it was from a known vendor. It was from, you know, authorized by a known brand that I trust, mm-hmm. Saban. And at the very least, I'd get a nice box out of it. And they seemed to realize that I was happy with the purchase I'd made, however ill-advised it might seem to them.
Well, and the idea, allegedly, is that the value inside is greater than what you paid.
Now, at Comic-Con, there were, just from that one booth, at least five or six different ones.
Mm-hmm.
Another booth around the 500 aisle, give or take, had
a
like
box.
10.
Oh.
They had, I'm not thinking a box. There's another box that was up at the base of like 200 or 300. I was thinking further down in the middle aisle, maybe it was closer to 700 or 800, where you had seen the backpack for Star Wars. Star Trek. And we may still get that one.
See, that's the problem. That's why we're recording this in the hotel. Spur of the moment is because I was tempted by the backpack or messenger bag. There is a themed Star Trek bag and has the mystery contents, but it was more expensive than this. So it was kind of a, well, if John's happy with his purchase, then I'll be more tempted.
I worry because the other one's by a different vendor.
Yeah, so do I.
But at these conventions, I mean, we'd gotten the Loot Crate one a couple of years back, the Cosmos one, and thought it was okay. There's easily a few dozen different mystery crates you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, figure it's a little bit of a gamble when you pay for it. $40, and they said maybe I'd get $80 worth of value.
Mm-hmm.
Go for one that's well-themed, a theme you know you're going to like, that kind of a thing, and be prepared to be potentially disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, but we had asked somebody else, and they said it had, like, some shot glasses or coasters or various things, and they seemed reasonably happy with this
one. They did. They seemed very happy. And I'll admit that with the Star Trek one, part of what tempted me was I like the backpack.
Yeah, just the bag alone.
Yeah.
The part that scares me off from that was a $90.
Yeah, and that really worries me.
So you're paying for the backpack and the contents that are the mystery.
Yeah.
But enough about that thing. Let's take a look at this. I think I'm good to hold this. But let's try not to make... Actually, you know what? I've got the mic holders. All right, the part you didn't just see was me actually getting the mic stand out. So I can kind of talk into it while I've... Now, the top flips open and reveals the handle part of the lid that's going to flip open.
This is going to be interesting, but... But no, the box is low enough. I can see it. This is a very strange experience for me.
Shall I move the box out of your sight?
Well, I'm not used to being able to see what you're opening. Normally, everything you open is a mystery to me.
Yes. Okay, we'll go this way. I'm using the top of the box to block her view. That's just mean of me, but hey, I can. All right, we're going to go with the first item, which is heavy.
It is.
And in a box that was already starting to open up. It's a six-pack shot set for Power Rangers with the, I guess...
Oh, and every shot glass is the color of a ranger.
So we've got a green one.
Well, I already know which one you want.
A red one.
Where's mine? Pink?
Yeah, pink. Interesting. And then the others would be the other.
So you're not even going to show me my blue shot glass from the bottom row.
No, that would take a little effort to get out, and this we'll get home intact this way.
Okay, that's fair.
So that was the heavy part.
Okay, that makes sense for a corner being heavy because of that.
Not that I really need shot glasses. Ah, this is something I may actually use. What do they call it?
Cozy,
yeah. In the design of the Red Ranger.
I got bad news for you on the shot glasses. They're hand wash only. Made by Surreal Entertainment. I'm trying to see. I can't tell because this barcode is a sticker put on it, but doesn't have a price, and it's made in China. I can't see anything that screams here's how you buy it in the U.S. and for how much.
But the cozy is kind of nice.
Yeah, I like that. And it's the red one, which, I mean, it's like they knew your ranger.
Well, I'm wondering if they've got one in the different colors, because that would be a nice set to have if you got a bunch of friends over.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we've got the coasters, and they are a five-pack of the medallions or whatever from Mighty Morphin.
Nice.
So Tyrannosaurus, Sabretooth, Pterodactyl, Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That is a fascinating name to put on coaster.
I think that was Billy's. Billy being the one with the glasses. We've got a lanyard bolt and stuff.
I like that lanyard.
It's kind of cool. And I think it's Comic-Con length to where you don't have to bow to get out.
I was thinking that too. That might be a great lanyard for you to be wearing tomorrow.
It might be. I had switched to the Batman lanyard I'd gotten in one of the boxes. The nice thing about that one is it's stretchy.
Oh, nice.
And even without the stretch, it's long enough that I'm not having to bow down to tag out. Because they've gone with the RFID at Comic-Con. And at one point, I guess it was yesterday, before I'd switched over to it, going to get out, I walked up, said, bowing out, did the thing, walked off, and I think I left somebody chuckling behind me.
You did. It was priceless.
And then we've got 15 ounce heat-changing coffee mug.
It goes Green Ranger when you put a hot drink in.
It goes from a black with a Green Ranger to a green background with the diamonds or whatever.
Oh, how funny. Yeah.
Then there's some cardboard to kind of fill out the box, which is why it was heavy on the one side.
Well, you figure mugs are 10 to 15 bucks each, and especially a heat change mug.
No, yeah. I would think between that, the shot glasses, the coasters, they did a good job on this. I think they could have put a little bit more in here, maybe a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But I'm not unhappy with what I got.
Yeah.
Certainly for 40 bucks, they did a good job.
The only thing I'll say that, and it's not negative, it's just a how expectations are set, is at the time when you did purchase it, they were offering you the opportunity to have the Yellow Ranger autograph your box.
The Yellow Turbo in Space Ranger, Tracy Lynn Cruz.
Yeah.
And it was going to be 20 bucks for the autograph. And I'm like, I think I can do without. No disrespect to her.
No, none whatsoever. But just in terms of setting expectations, there was a part of me that was wondering, okay, so is something in here tied to her show? Is there a specific reason?
Generation. This is all Mighty Morphin.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That seems to be kind of the default setting.
Yeah.
I do think that there is a... an opportunity for an ongoing Power Ranger thing that spans the teams, and particularly if they were to team up with that metal company we talked about yesterday, where you could get practically a team a box.
Yeah.
A couple of bucks.
Yeah.
I'd be all over that. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So this was good. again. It explains where the weight was on the shot glasses. Those are kind of cool. And the heat-changing mugs, or mug,
yeah,
and the canned koozie and stuff. So I can see getting some use out of this.
Yeah, very cool.
So anything else on this?
I think you're good.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.